taken from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come into your presence now, we ask your Spirit to do a great work. For only the few moments that we have to look at this particular passage in your word are adequate if your Spirit attends them. They are not adequate under any other circumstances. So, Lord, we pray that the breath of your Holy Spirit that breathed these very words in the first place may blow upon us and move us, Father, in the direction that we need to go. Help us now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. When I was in high school, I went to a little church in the Wiley area near Lake Levan to be the song leader and work with the youth of that church. And the pastor there was a pastor that I'd known for several years, and he was an old-time Calvinist Baptist evangelist. Did you get all three of those words? Calvinist Baptist evangelist. And he could preach the gospel like nobody I've heard before or since. And he would always instruct me to lead a song of invitation, wherein he would invite people to come to Christ at the very end of each and every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He would preach, and his favorite invitation hymn was a song that began, "Come, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord." And that's what we do. We come to the Lord when we're oppressed by sin. Our text said that the hand of the Lord is heavy upon us. This is one of seven penitential psalms that are found in the book of Psalms. We looked at one back when we were looking and studying through the various psalms some months ago, the 51st psalm. The 51st psalm was written by King David when he was in the throes of conviction of his sin. He had been slain by the Spirit of God in his soul when it was pointed out to him the wretchedness and the awfulness and the consequences of his violation of numerous covenants with his sin with Bathsheba. And in that psalm, he talks about the Lord's conviction of his heart, the turmoil within his soul. And he pleads for mercy in that psalm and receives forgiveness. And he asked the Lord to create a clean heart within him and to renew a right spirit within him and to restore to him the joy of his salvation. And he said to the Lord, when you do that, in verse 13 of 51, he said, when you do that, then will I teach sinners your ways and sinners will be converted to you. He wasn't in the mood, neither was he spiritually ready to teach sinners at that moment when he wrote that psalm. But in time, he wrote this one, Psalm 32. And this is a maskil psalm, a psalm of teaching, a psalm of instruction, a psalm of the heart that has been made glad by the balm of Gilead poured upon the soul for the healing. Healing takes time. And David had experienced the healing of the Lord, the restoring of his soul. Even though there's healing, there are still scars. Scars are a sign of healing. And David knew all of that in his life. And I know most of you know the story of David quite well. And he wrote this psalm. And this psalm, it's interesting that at the very conclusion, he talks about that joy that he had pleaded. He said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And look at the very last verse here. He said, be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. There is a joy that comes in the morning, but only after there have been tears in the night. This particular psalm begins with two beatitudes. The very first psalm, you remember, begins with a beatitude. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. This is the beatitude and the blessedness of a man who has strayed, who has walked in the counsel of the ungodly, who has strayed and has known the forgiveness of the Lord in his soul. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And by the way, the word blessed in verse 2 is plural. Blessednesses. Multiple blessings. Multiple layers of happiness. Multiple layers of joy. Not just the superficial singing where he refers later to, you will surround me, you will compass me about with songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance are songs of the working of the gospel in the life of someone. Songs of deliverance are gospel songs. And being surrounded with songs of the gospel, like the one that Brian sang and like the ones we've sung this morning with Come Thou Fountain and Can It Be. Surrounding with gospel songs of deliverance. But not just that level, which is good enough, but the deepest level in the recesses of the heart, that place where only we know, and we don't even know it quite so well, within our souls, that peace, knowing that sins are forgiven. That's the blessednesses of the one who's been forgiven. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Well, there's just a lot here, but let me just take a couple of words and let's look at those. Let's look at the words that here, transgression, sin, and iniquity. Most of the words for sin in the Bible have some relation to the law of God. Violating the law of God, ignoring the law of God, depreciating the law of God, stepping outside the bounds of the law of God. And if we think of God's law as the transcript of His divine character, which is His glory, it's falling short of the law of God or falling short of the glory of God. Or it is missing the mark. Missing the mark, seeing God's law as a target, as a goal, as a place of attainment, but we miss it. And that's such is the case here with the word. The first one has the idea of missing the law of God, missing the mark. The word sin is very similar in what it means. But the word iniquity is the one that takes on a little different meaning. It talks about the warped, twistedness, the perversity of our sin. In fact, it's even referred to as the iniquity of our sin. The word iniquity is the word, I think, that needs to settle in on us. Our sin is no light matter. It's the child of God who struggles with sin. The ungodly don't care. The ungodly are not concerned. The unregenerate have no prick of conscience. The unrighteous are not seeking to obey the Lord. The straying, alienated soul is not seeking to follow the Lord. It's the one who is godly. Therefore, verse 6, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Oh yeah, there's a time to seek the Lord. And that's when He's calling you. The Scripture says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. When there is in your conscience that realization, as the text describes it here, that bones wasting away, the groaning or the lamentation or the rant all day long, day and night, the heaviness of God's hand, your strength is dried up as the heat of the sun. When that parched soul, when that oppressed spirit comes upon you, that's the Lord. God's people, the godly, are the ones that hear that call. And when you hear that call, friends, it's time to answer it. It's time to go to your knees. It's time for contrition and a godly sorrow that works repentance. A genuine remorse, not just merely for the things that you've done, but a remorse that says, I'm not only sorry for what I've done, but I am deeply sorrowful that I'm the kind of person that would do something like that. Do you see the difference? That's when your soul is wretched before the Lord. That's when you, as the old Puritans used to say, when you're brought low before the Lord. That doesn't come every day of your life. You don't get that feeling in every morning devotion or every bedtime prayer. That's the sweet mercy of God moving in on your soul. You may be in sin and have a pattern of sin or a sin in your life that has been innocuous to you, and you've just thought it's benign, and you've practiced it, and you've been complacent about it, and you've justified it for years. But there comes a moment when God shows you that sin and lays open your soul and you see it for the heinous deed, thought, word that it is. That's when you've come before the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Why do I press that with a point of urgency? Well, this is not an easy doctrine, Pastor, and I'm not even sure if I ought to mention it, but there's a doctrine in the Scripture called reprobation. Is it okay to talk about it for a minute? Reprobation says that God, at some point, unknown to us, there is no way we know where that point is, but there's some point when God gives up. You can read about it in the first chapter of Romans. God will just give someone over to their own desires, to their own lust. We don't know when that point is, but we know that there's some point in a life when God just says, you know what, I've talked to you, I've told you, I've brought you under the means of grace, you've heard preacher after preacher, you've read my word, you've gone to Bible studies, and you won't repent. And I don't know what else I can do for you. And an all-knowing God knows that your soul is so alienated and so hard, your neck is so stiff, that you will not repent. And He just says, you know, do what you want to do with it. It's your life. Do what you want to do with it. God gives up on people. He gives up on cultures and societies. So you better seek the Lord while he may be found. When your heart's tender, when he's pushing, when you're uncomfortable, when you're sweating in your sin. Because that's the Spirit of God moving on you. And today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the accepted time. This, when God moves you, is the time to repent of your sin. There's also a time when it'll be everlastingly too late. We don't know how much time we have. When you're young, like some of you people are, you think you're going to live 812 years more. When you get a little older and get some gray hair, you realize your days are numbered. And you begin to ask the Lord to show you how to make the most of them. But none of us are guaranteed even the breath that's in our nostrils now. My brother's father-in-law was a lifelong missionary to South America. And last Sunday morning at this very time, he went to his Sunday school class, led the class, led the singing, and went into the worship service and was singing the songs and dropped dead last Sunday morning, 8 days ago. They buried him yesterday. And I was talking to my sister-in-law in the middle of the week, and she said, you know what point the preacher was making just before Pete passed away? He was talking about how we never know how much time we have. I thought, boy, that's a sermon illustration right there. But this man was ready to go, and all week long they have not been able to handle the phone calls and all from his life. He was in his mid-80s, and he had served the Lord faithfully in many places. And it was a wonderful testimony of a great life. I believe that Pete was ready to go. But some of us aren't. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Come to him when he calls. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord.